chapter 3 and verse 19. I'm going back to the calling of these apostles, these 12, the appointing by Christ of the 12. Mark chapter 3 and verse 19. Judas. Among the people that were called, the final one listed is this, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Mark 3, verse 19. But it doesn't come much more solemn than this, my friend. It's a very serious, short discourse, this. Let's have a look at it. Here is a massive mystery. Huge, beyond my comprehension. I read that Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 men he appointed, among them Judas Iscariot. And Mark explains, Judas Iscariot, the very one who betrayed him, and yet Christ had prayed over this, he had sought his Father's will, he'd appointed this man knowingly. John 6, verse 70 to 71, Jesus knew all about it, he's a sovereign one here. And all the time he knows this, he's chosen him, he's appointed him, and yet this man is going to betray him. It's a mystery, isn't it? Inexplicable. All I will say to you is don't overdraw the lessons from this special, unique case. It'd be very easy to get into a very serious spiritual and emotional trouble over this man. Remember, he is fulfilling this role. We know John 10, we know John 17, we know the parts that's being played here. Christ will hold his own, and yet this is the son of perdition, and he had to lose him because he was betrayed by this Judas Iscariot. But there are lessons we can learn here. We certainly don't learn that the elect can fall away. John 10, John 17 won't allow that. Oh, no, no. But we can learn some very serious and solemn points. Let me come quickly to them. I'll be very brief. It's only a brief discourse. These are just seed thoughts which need to be expanded and applied more fully. First of all, do you see about Christ? Let's look at Christ here. Do you see how he submitted to the will of his Father? Hebrews 10, verse 1 onwards, he came to do the will of God, and part of that will of God was to be betrayed. Now think of that. Do you know what it is to be betrayed? My own familiar friend, Psalm 40, has lifted his heel against me. The man who ate my own bread, who sat at my table, he has betrayed me. Friend, he says, you come to me with a kiss and you betray me, betray me, betray me. This is a shocking thing. The nails hurt, yes, the crown of thorns, yes, and all the rest of it. But the betrayal, that must have been cutting. There's a lesson for us, brother and sister. Are we betrayed? Well, Christ, our Savior, was betrayed. But he, again, another point. Christ obtained testimony, even from his enemies, out of the mouth of Judas. Do you remember what Judas said? I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? I said, but I have betrayed innocent blood. Even his enemies have to confess. And again, it shows Christ's wonderful compassion. Again and again and again, knowing this man would betray him, he was offering him mercy and showing him kindness, showing him grace in the gospel, giving him opportunity after opportunity, even at the Lord's table as he went out and so on. Christ's compassion. I know there's a tremendous mystery about all this, but his compassion, obtaining the testimony even from his enemies, in submission to the will of his Father. Now, very briefly, what can we learn from Judas? The evil weight of sin. How evil is sin? It's not just a misunderstanding about my self-esteem. It is a betrayal of Christ. It is an opposition, a hatred of Christ, even in a fawning way, even in a seeming flattering way. This man is sinning against the light. Is anybody here listening to me now sinning against the light? He's had advantage and opportunity, But then there's the next point, the danger of trading on advantage. He thinks by association, perhaps. He's an apostle. He's in the company. How many today are just attending church, hoping that somehow or another, I suppose, something will rub off? It won't, my friend. You don't catch it like the measles. Yeah, here again, number four. He's misunderstanding any use God may have put him to. God may have used him, and used him as an apostle here in some way. And perhaps he was looking at, well, you know, I've got this evidence. No, that's not evidence, my friend. His heart is his evidence. Be careful. Even the devils have to confess Christ. It doesn't save them, though. The fifth thing I would learn from Judas is that the church needs constant discipline. Yeah, our enemies sneak in. Galatians 2, 4, Jude 4. They infiltrate. They're among us. 2 Peter chapter 2, false teachers arise. Acts 20, even of your own selves, says Paul to the elders at Ephesus. Again, a lesson from Judas. Brother and sister, let us not get over disappointed. I know it's disappointing to see people we have labored with and labored for turn out to be apostates, but Christ our Savior suffered it too. But be warned, my friend, do not go back from Christ. In the end, though, the final point, it was his own personal responsibility. He was a deceiver. Oh, God, deliver me from being a deceiver. Deceiving himself, deceiving Christ, deceiving his fellow apostles, but in the end, deceiving himself. Now, this is a very solemn thing, I know. The evil weight of sin, sinning against light, the danger of trading on advantages, misunderstanding any use God may have put him to, the call for constant discipline, not get disappointed, over-disappointed. Yeah, we are disappointed, but not over-disappointed by apostasy. It comes, it's bound to come. Christ suffered it. In the end, it's a personal thing. Oh, God, deliver me from apostasy. Deliver me from going back. Why did Judas perish? Not because of any of this. No. All this is sin. But he didn't perish because of that. Peter failed. The other disciples failed. What's the difference? If Judas had repented, if he had called out for mercy to Christ, if he had turned to Christ in repentance, he would have been forgiven. Judas went to hell, not because he betrayed Christ, not because he was a deceiver, not because he was an apostate, because he was an unrepentant sinner, an unrepentant apostate, and so on. May God bless these thoughts to us, not just in the head, but in the heart. May it help some backslider to come back to Christ. May it prevent some believer going away from Christ and make us all weary of this solemn thing of betraying Christ. He who is faithful to the end, endure to the end, he shall be saved. May God give us grace to endure. Amen.